The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
And just reading some of your texts in about what you think of first thing in the morning. John in Limerick says, my first thoughts on waking today are best summarised by Father Jack when he sobered up. Oh no, I'm on this feckin' island. And on a more serious note, Richard says, first thing that I think of in the morning is no drink last night, one day at a time. And on the subject of James Riley getting his centuries wrong and suggesting that things may change in 1919, a texter has been in touch with us to tell us that Minister Michael Noonan is regularly back in Roman times with 214, 215. And another texter says, my mother-in-law is a beautiful lady of 91 and she loves Mrs. Brown's Boys. Now, we're staying with TV matters. The hit series Love Hate, as you will know, is set to return to our screens in the autumn. The fifth series, it's hard to believe. It's currently being filmed in Dublin, and in the past few days, one new cast member has been spotted on the set in the Phoenix Park. Paul Ronan, good morning.
Morning, John. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. And for those who don't know, you just also happen to be Saoirse Ronan's dad.
Well, I thought it wouldn't be too long before that was gotten in somewhere, yeah.
But and you're going to say now that you taught her all she knows?
No. I think she learned on set. She learned a lot as she went along, you know. I mean, in the early days, yes, I coached her and I did all her audition tapes. We'd film them in the house or around in the garden or whatever. We'd set it up and we'd rehearse the scene and we'd go through all the moves. And so, you know, all that stuff. But then, of course, she's learning from all the actors she's working with and learning from all those great experiences she's had, you know.
And what age was she when you did that coaching with her?
Well, the first film I put her in a short film when she was 6 or 7, I think. It was a short film. They needed a young boy in it, and I kind of talked them into using a young girl. And it was never finished, the film. I was asked to do it as a favour for a director, and she didn't want to do it at first. So I told her that they'd paint her face with like a clown, and that was the deal. And she jumped at it. She would love to have her face painted. So she did it, and because she was on set a lot with me, she was able to hit her marks, and she knew the kind of etiquette of being on set. And you know, one of the actors, who was a professional actor, just kept talking all the way through, like while we were coming up to a take. And at one point, Saoirse just said, "Quiet on set," and the director said, "My God, she can direct too."
Yes,
you know. So I mean, it was that, and then of course she you know, I introduced her to. Well, I talked incessantly to my agent about her, so eventually she wanted to meet her and met her and said, right, well, let's put her out for stuff. She didn't audition for her. It was just her personality or whatever, you know, that seemed to come through, you know.
Yeah, and the rest, as they say, is history and a very successful history. And I was just looking at her in Grand Budapest Hotel. I saw it last week. And again, a wonderful role. It's interesting, before we get... Sorry, Paul, we digress from your own acting role
in
Love Hate. But she used her own accent in Grand Budapest Hotel. I thought it was interesting because there is a variety of accents in the movie.
There are, yeah. A lot of the guys use their own accents, and I suppose neutralize. I mean, like Jeff Goldblum and Harvey Keitel and Edward Norton, they all kind of, I suppose it wasn't a very hard American accent, but, and then there were kind of Eastern European, type Germanic type accents, you know. So I think it was one of those films that you could do anything with, and Wes just wanted her to, she could have done any accent he wanted, you know, but he said, yeah, to use your Irish accent. So she was happy to do that. It was a wonderful film, an amazing film. I love it. It's so funny. I mean, it's really, really great. It's Wes Anderson at his best, I think, you know?
Yeah. No, it is. It is. It's a great comedy. Well worth a visit to see. And Paul, just as I said, you told us a little bit about your own acting credentials, but when did you land the role in Love Hate, and how did it come about?
Well, basically, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, or maybe longer, maybe about 3 weeks ago. My agent called me and said that they were offering me a role in Love Hate, which was great. I was chuffed. No audition. I hate auditions. what actor likes them. I don't know anyone who does, but you know, it was great just to be offered a role. Now it's, I don't know. I mean, I've shot what I've shot already, and I don't know if he's going to be back. I don't know if there'll be a lot more for him or not, really, you know.
Yeah.
It's all kept under wraps.
Yes, there's a serious confidentiality agreement in place.
Yeah.
Can you in any way explain to us what your particular part is and the scene, for instance, without saying what the...
No, I can't. You know, I actually can't, because, I mean, I talked to the producers and they're kind of... you know, they're really trying to keep it on the wraps, because apparently, you know, the newspapers keep on trying to print or trying to guess the stories or trying to basically put spoilers in their newspapers, you know.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Which is kind of unfair, really, because, I mean, you know, you kind of like people to be able to just enjoy the show and, you know, because the whole idea of it is you don't know what's going to happen, you know, and I think when that's spoiled, it kind of ruins it a bit. And that's why the producers, I think, are being so protective and secretive about it, because... They want to keep it right for their audience. They want to keep the experience good for their audience and not have it ruined by stuff that's been printed in the newspaper.
Well, I agree with you, and I can see it happening, because there is such saturation, media interest in the fifth series, that the newspapers will be trying to outdo themselves in trying to find out. But a nice headline in this morning's Daily Mail says, Saoirse's father gets in on the act with love-hate role. I presume you never... Actually, it probably just fits the space better than saying Paul Ronan. But the fact of your going by Saoirse's father, you don't mind being labelled...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't want to be Saoirse Ronan's father? She's a gorgeous, amazing girl, like, you know, but... It's I know, it's fine. It doesn't bother me at all being called Saoirse Ronan's father. I mean, there was a time I was called Paul Ronan, you know, when I was years ago, before I had a kind of a sabbatical or whatever from acting, you know. So I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine with being called Saoirse Ronan's outfit, da, gobshite outfit, whatever, you know.
You name it.
I don't care.
But you've had other movie roles.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I've been in, you know, I've been in a few Irish films. I played Jimmy Guerin in the Veronica Guerin story, and I was actually in When the Sky Falls, which is the other biopic about Kate, about Veronica, and I played a kind of a bad guy in that. But I was in The Devil's Own, Ordinary Decent Criminal, you know, quite a few. Ballycus Angel, I was in that for the last series, actually. That was a bit of a shocker when that went. I think a new head of BBC Drama came in and just decided we're going to axe it, and it was green lit. We were 2 weeks away from shooting, and they had written the series around. They had really bolstered the love story between me and Susanna Doyle. That was Tony Doyle's daughter. She came in the last series too, and it was going to be very much about our relationship and stuff as a kind of a thread through it, and they just axed it, and it was kind of devastating. We were all ready to go, and especially for the guys who were working on the show for a long time for the whole series, it was a bit of a shock, you know.
Yeah, because it was very successful. I mean, I think it attracted big audiences.
Yeah, I think what happens is they you know, when somebody comes in into a new job, they decide to clean shop, you know. It's probably the same in a lot of businesses. They say, right, out with the old and in with the new. And whatever show is on now, it's gone, and I'm going to bring a whole new fresh look and blah, 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 you know. I don't think there was any particular reason. I mean, the ratings weren't as good as they were, but it was still good. Like, it was still very good, you know. So it was a shame. It was a shame. It was a good show. It was a lovely show. It was shot on 35mm film as well, which... had a beautiful look to it, and of course it was shot in a lovely part of Ireland too.
Yeah, and to say that obviously Saoirse started young. Dave in Dublin says, I was in the Cub Scouts with Paul, and he was a great actor then as well.
Is that David Coleman?
It just says Dave in Dublin. I don't know.
Okay.
But if that's... Where were the Cubs? Where were the Scouts?
The Cubs on Parnell Road, yeah, in Crumlin, the 42nd troop. Yeah, we were in that, myself and... And my brother Bobby, God rest him, he was in it as well. Yeah, that was just like 3 doors away from me. And we'd go there every Saturday. We'd get our neckerchief and our woggles and our garters and go do our drill and everything. And we had a great, David Keogh, Fionn, we used to call him, and Brendan Coffey were the two leaders. And they gave us a great, great young life, actually, going off hiking and camping. It was terrific. I loved the Cubs.
And Paul, it just so happens that at the moment, Saoirse is filming for Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Not too far away from home in Enniscorthy, because you're living in Carlow. And
yeah.
Have you been on the set?
Very close. Yes, I have, yeah. And it's wonderful what they've done. I mean, Enniscorthy, there's a weird thing, actually. Saoirse's grandfather on her mother's side is from Enniscorthy. And he worked in that mill that you see, that big mill that's, I don't know if it's a mill anymore when you drive in, but it's a great old town, Enniscorthy, and it's lovely. It's an old town, and they've really made it look like the 1950s in the parts that they were filming in, you know. What they've done to the shop fronts and everything is amazing, and Saoirse's wardrobe, Saoirse's clothes are beautiful. I mean, I love the 1950s thing. It's great, her hair and everything. It's the whole look of it is gorgeous already, you know. So I'd say it's going to be a terrific film.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Anyway, yeah. And Paul, I'm just wondering, given the success Saoirse is enjoying and it looks set to continue, would it be on the horizon that you'd sort of up sticks and head to the States if that was required, or are you firmly ensconced now in County Carlow and not for moving?
Well, I mean, we lived in New York for 12 years. Saoirse was born there. She was 3.5, 4 when we moved back, so it wouldn't be beyond the thing. But, I mean, we don't have to all move as a family. I mean, Saoirse's getting to that age now, if she wanted to move to L.A. or New York, she could do that, you know, and we've talked about that. And it's, you know, I know I miss New York. I mean, to me, it's the best city in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, but, well, bar Dublin, of course, that's a given. But outside of Dublin, it's the best city in the world. It's just fantastic. I love it. And I would prefer it to L.A. So, yeah, they're, you know, not talking about it at the moment. Quite happy in Ireland, but, you know.
Could happen.
We'll see.
Right, OK. Well, Paul, it's been great to talk to you, and we look forward to seeing you in Love Hate when it eventually is transmitted come the autumn. But take good care of yourself, and we'll talk soon again.
Thanks very much, John.
Cheers.
All the best to you.
And that's Paul Ronan there. And Trish in North Strand says, Mrs. Brown's Boys is like ABBA, deceptively simple but cleverly written. Oh, yes, everyone said they were silly and rubbish at first. But what's the story now? Yes, what's the story now indeed? Success everywhere. Now, that's all we have time for today. On sound, Pat O'Carney. The broadcast coordinator was Denise Davies. Our researcher was Spíseach Selinsky. And our producer, John Daly. Sean is up next. We're back in the morning at 9 till then. Slán.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. Peace of mind as standard. Quality guaranteed. Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.